All right, we're going to begin this morning in Genesis chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 24 to the end of the chapter. Now, we've seen so far in the first 5 days, it's been declaring to us what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for his people in their salvation, in the redemption work of the Lamb of God. Now let me give you an outline of what we've seen in each of these days. Day one, we see the uncreated light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Where the rest of the language in Scripture is, God said, "Let us, do something. Let's make something," and then He makes it. But this is the uncreated light, and God brought it forth to shine upon the earth, signifying his gracious purpose to save a people for himself. And then we see that as it's a picture here in Genesis 1, it points to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the light and life of men. Then we saw in day 2, the firmament was made, and the firmament is a covering which protects those living creatures that God makes from the harsh, deadly elements of space. And so it is that our Savior made a covering, a sin-atoning covering for his people. And in Christ, we live. We have our life in him, in the firmament, in the covering of Christ for his people. Day 3. Having laid down his life, he appears from the grave. And that's what we see on day 3 when the land appeared out of the watery grave. And then it comes forth abundant and fruitful, bringing forth fruit and seed after its kind, which is a picture of Christ's spiritual seed, his people being born again of his seed. Day 4. We see the ascension and the exaltation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ declared there, his exaltation. But it also shows the witness that he left of himself on the earth. The sun, the moon, and the stars still bear witness of that first light, of that uncreated light, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll say a little more about that later, but it's talking about the witness which is yet in the earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Day 5, we see the fruit that is born as a result of the witness on the earth. When the Lord brought forth that abundance of life out of the sea and out of the air, the fish and the fowls. And we looked last week seeing how that Christ is the universal Savior, specifically in that there is but one salvation. In all the earth, there is but one name by whom God's people are saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this message is proclaimed throughout the world. And then we saw the particular nature of that blessing for the people of God, those whom he chose and put in Christ. That's who Christ came and gave his life for. Now in day 6, we see a picture of God's blessing of grace, which is manifested in the new birth in his people. That grace of God is manifested in the new birth of his people who are created after the image of Christ. And so I titled this message, "The Creation of the New Man." The creation of the new man. So on this 6th day, there's a creation first of beasts and cattle and creeping things. Let's read verses 24 and 25. "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then we know that after this, God speaks of creating man. But before we go there, there's something glaringly absent. Something is missing here about this creation of the land animals. What is it? There's no blessing. God pronounces no blessing on the animals. Now, look up at verse 22. Verse 22, regarding the fish and the fowl, it says, "And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." Now look down at verse 28, concerning man, the blessing of man. "And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." He's talking to man specifically. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So there's a blessing for the fish and the fowl. There's a blessing for man, but there's no blessing pronounced for the animals. I don't doubt that there is some implied blessing upon the animals, upon the beast, the cattle, and the creeping thing, because they did fulfill and populate the earth. They did that. But it wasn't recorded in Scripture. God left that out of Scripture. There's no account of him pronouncing a blessing upon the animals. So what is the significance? Why is that blessing not included regarding the animals? Well, from our last study of the fish and the fowl, recall that these were a picture of life being wrought in his people, life springing forth under the blessing of the witness of Christ. That sun, that moon, and those stars upon the earth are a picture of the witness that the Lord Jesus Christ left in the earth concerning himself, who is the light and life of men, who is the light and life of his people. And that witness was blessed by God so that we see when the witness came forth, life sprung forth where there was no life. Life came forth out of death under the witness of Christ, the Holy Ghost, the Scripture, and the blood-redeemed people of God, the Church of God, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle John spoke of in 1 John when he said there's three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Right? That's the Spirit and the Word, the Scripture, and the blood-redeemed souls whom Christ gave his life for. And these bear witness of Christ, and the Lord blessing it brings forth abundance of life in his people. Now, on the sixth day of creation, we've seen how God reveals what Christ did on each of the days for his people. And on the sixth day of creation, God is revealing that his blessing of grace is manifested in his people as a new creation, as new creatures living by his grace, by the power of God in Christ. Now, anyone who's taught of God, anyone whom the Lord teaches, they are made to know that God must do everything for us in salvation. God does everything for his people in salvation. Whether it's A all the way to Z, he does it. Whether it's the first or the last, whether it's the beginning or the end, God does everything for his people. God even gives us the faith whereby we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fruit being wrought in his people. That's the fruit of the Spirit that looks away from self, has no confidence in self, but has every confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the testimony of God that this one is the Savior. Look to him. He's the righteousness of my people. In him I receive my people, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. And so we see that God deserves all the glory for bearing fruits of righteousness in his people. We don't glory in anything we do. It's given to us by God. He's the one that makes thee to differ from another. We glory in him. We see this testified throughout Scripture, and we looked at this a lot last time, but let me just give you another scripture concerning that, where it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30-31, we're told that of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our God makes Christ everything unto the people of God. It's to his glory and praise. And he's the one that separates his child out of death and darkness, giving them light and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God gives the blessing of salvation, which he doesn't give to others. Just like he says of Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He passed by Esau, leaving him to himself, and did something for Jacob that he didn't do for Esau. He blessed Jacob and gave him life and fellowship with him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God does for his people. That's the blessing of God. If you're blessed of God, it's unto salvation. It's unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It always, the blessing of God always saves his people, delivering us out of that death. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining, coming into possession of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessing of God. You're not left in death and darkness. You are given life and salvation and fellowship and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unto life and salvation. So, the thrust of day 6 here, again, we've seen how that every single day has been declaring us what Christ accomplishes. Day 6 is no different. It's a picture. It's declaring to us what Christ does. It's the manifestation of God's grace after the fall of man. And we're being given a picture of the new creation formed of Christ's people, formed rather of Christ in his people, the church, who are made in the image of Christ. We're now made in the image of Christ in the new birth. So on the first thing God did on day 6 was he created the beasts and the cattle and the creeping thing, each after their kind. And the picture for us, the picture of what it's speaking to, is what man is in this flesh as a result of Adam's fall and our fall in Adam. So that now we do come forth after his kind, after Adam's fallen nature. We come forth dead in trespasses and sins, just like Adam died in the garden when he rebelled in God, when he rebelled against God. And we come forth of his seed naturally, dead in trespasses and sins. And just as every day looked to and declared something that Christ has done for his people, so it is on the sixth day. It's a picture of what Christ accomplishes in his people in the new birth, being created after the image of Christ, being given life and fellowship with the true and living God. So the beast, the cattle, and the creeping thing, they're a type of what we are now in this flesh in Adam. It represents the old man of sin, the flesh which comes forth first. That's what's being pictured here. The description of the natural man after his rebellion against God is not a good description. It's not a good description of what we are. What the Lord shows us in Scripture of what we are in Adam is sin, is death, it's defilement. We're ruined in Adam. Because of Adam's sin, that peculiar blessing which he had, that fellowship he had with God in the garden, being made in the image of God, was lost. And man died spiritually. And what happened? God became man's enemy. And he turned from God and ran from God and hid from God. And the Scriptures tell us that the carnal mind, what we are by nature, the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. It cannot be. We're corrupt by nature. We're defiled. We're lost. We're ruined in sin. We are now in darkness, having no light. The psalmist David said, we go astray from the womb. From the womb we go astray. We have no form or body to us. We're void of understanding. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're like the description of the earth in Genesis 1:2, when it says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was without form and void. That's what we are in Adam. We have no part in Christ, at least not according to the natural sight. We're under the wrath of God. Now, it says concerning Mount Sinai, let me give you a few scriptures. In Hebrews 12:20, it's describing the giving of the law. Now, in Hebrews 12:20, it says, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. That's harsh. Not even an animal could touch that mountain while God was meeting with and communing with Moses and giving him the law. If a beast touched it, it would die. Now, let me read to you from Exodus 19. Exodus 19 and verse 12 and 13. It gives a little more detail about what was spoken of in Hebrews. It says, the Lord said to Moses, thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. And so because of man's sin, he's no better. He's no more esteemed than a beast or cattle or a creeping thing. If man dares lay his filthy hand to God's law, he's going to die in his sins. He's going to perish. He's not going to keep that law because he's not perfect. He's unable to do it. We can't bear that which was commanded in God's holy law. It's to shut our mouths, to show us, no, you cannot make a righteousness for yourself. We cannot save ourselves. We need the grace of our God. We cannot save ourselves. And so, anyone that touched that mount would die just like an animal, was to be put to death in the same manner. The psalmist, describing his sin, said in Psalm 73:22. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. That's what we are in Adam. That's what we are in our sin. And so the point is, we've fallen from that esteemed description in the garden when God created man upright. Man was created innocent. He was guilt-free. He wasn't guilty of any sin. He hadn't sinned. He did nothing wrong. He was made upright. But when he sinned, it was showing he went astray. And that's what we do in Adam. We're all sinners. We all come forth dead in trespasses and sins. And so everyone is guilty of sin and comes short of the glory of God in Adam. Every single one of us. We're no better than a beast, and that's how we're described in scriptures. And in that manner, we're dead in trespasses and sins. And just as the beasts had no blessing of God, right? There was no blessing recorded in scripture concerning the animals on the beginning of day six. So it is that this flesh isn't blessed of God. This old man of flesh is discarded. It's not getting better. I'm not getting my flesh better and better by the things that I do. It's dead. It's dead. We yet have sin present in the flesh. We're yet tempted by it. Christ has conquered that sin. He's put it away. He's overcome that so that it has no more bearing on our inheritance. It has no more dominion over us. It's been put away by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken care of it, but this sin is yet present in the flesh, and it's discarded. This flesh is discarded. When I die, I'll be buried in the dirt. I'll be put back in the dirt from which I came. I came from dust. I'm going back to dust. This flesh is discarded. It's not blessed. When Christ returns, he'll raise our bodies a new body. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at this a little bit. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to pick up in verse 42. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so that's describing this flesh. It hasn't gotten any better. It still perishes. It's still natural and it's going. It's still corruptible. It perishes. It dies. It's discarded. But when we're raised again, it's a new body, a spiritual body. So it's written, verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but he fell and died spiritually. And we in him, being born after his kind, after his seed, naturally speaking, the last Adam, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. He gives life. We died in Adam, but we live in the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace and power. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. I think of what God made first, the first thing on the sixth day. It was not spiritual, but that which is natural. And after, that which is spiritual. When man was made second, pointing to what we are made in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the image of Christ. It's a picture of what your Savior does for each of his people in the new birth, being born again by his Spirit after his seed, after his kind. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, what we are in this flesh in Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We shall be created anew, raised anew in a heavenly body in Christ. Now, there's much more wonderful things to read about, but I want to stay upon this salvation work which Christ does for his people here now, being blessed of God, whereby we know him and have fellowship with him and receive of his gifts and graces in God, in Christ, in the Spirit of God. So it says we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, when our Savior arose again, when he went to heaven and he ascended up and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, he sent us his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is called in Scripture an earnest, which is a down payment. It's a down payment which your God gives to you, whereby we, God, our Lord is telling us, you are mine. The inheritance which I've obtained and prepared for my people by the death of myself and the resurrection, what I've accomplished for them, it's yours. And here is a foretaste. Here is the down payment that what I'm telling you is so. So that we are made partakers of his Spirit even now, knowing that our inheritance is Christ, that we shall be raised again in a new body of the Lord Jesus Christ's creation, of his work. But that new birth is worked in you now. You're born again. You that believe Christ, who have no other hope but Christ, live now, being born again by the power, by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's being pictured here. It's, again, it's a picture. Every day has been a picture of something Christ has done for his people. Why else were the animals made on day six? Why didn't God just tack them on day five with the fish and the fowl and just throw on the animals too? But instead, he waited till day six, and because it's a picture of what we became in Adam when he fell, being earthy, being not being in the image of God, being fallen, having no fellowship, being enemies of God and him being our enemy. The number of man is 666, right? In Scripture, it's 666 because why? Man comes short of seven, of perfection, every time. In all his works, he falls short of the glory of God continuously. But the description which follows is a picture of the new birth in Christ. So I'll read it. Let's read Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, I want to focus a little bit on that phrase in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." There's a lot of ideas out there of what this image means, a lot. But the point, the picture that the Lord is declaring to us here, as we're reading it today, sons and daughters of Adam, born dead in trespasses and sins, it's showing us our need to be created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's showing us our need of the Savior. The fellowship, the friendship we had with God was lost in Adam. It was destroyed. We cannot please God in this flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8:8. We must be born again. You must be born again. I must be born again. Just as Christ said to Nicodemus, you're a religious man. You must be born again. We must be born again. What we are in this flesh is not getting it done. We are not pleasing God. We need salvation. And that salvation is given in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives life. He gives his people a new birth. He gives them the Spirit whereby we are regenerated, born again, after the spiritual seed of Christ. We were all born of Adam's seed. and we all died, we all came forth dead in trespasses and sins. We need to be born again of the seed of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something we do for ourselves. That's something that God must do for us. The popular teaching in many so-called churches is that we get ourselves born again by making a decision for Christ or accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, of walking an aisle, of raising your hand, of coming down and praying the sinner's prayer. That's not the language of Scripture. That's man's tradition. That's not what the Lord teaches in His Word. He tells us He gives life. You cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no faith in Christ except you are born again. When the Spirit of God comes upon you and gives you life, then you hear the voice of the Son of God. Then faith is created and you believe. You look to Him. And you cannot but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because you that believe on Him, that hope in Him, having no hope in your own works, in what you do, you have no hope in that, but you have all hope in Him. That's because you have been born again. And He's teaching you, showing you Christ. Christ, looking to Him. You've been born again. So faith in Christ is the evidence of God's blessing. Faith in Christ is the evidence. If God didn't bless you, you would not believe Christ. You wouldn't believe Him at all. So it's the evidence that God has saved that one, that he has applied the blood of Christ. That when Christ gave His life, your sins were put away already by Christ. And now in time, He brings that salvation to you and gives you life in the appointed hour of His grace, giving you faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we confess that Christ is all. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I mean, a lot of people say it, but they don't have any understanding of what that means. Christ is Lord. He does as He pleases. And who of us can say to Him, "What doest thou? How come you've made me thus?" No, we're taught to bow before Him and to worship Him and to thank Him for His salvation, thank Him for His mercy and grace. So our salvation isn't one of reformation. It isn't just us turning things around and getting better. It's one of newness of life in Christ. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, and that's what we are in this flesh. This faith that we have in Christ is not of this flesh. That's corruptible. This flesh can only bring forth thorns, thistles, and bramble bushes. That which came upon us in the curse. Right? That's when those things sprung up, was in the curse. That's what this flesh brings forth. But faith, living faith in Christ, that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's the grapes and the figs which only He brings forth in His people. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses the witness to His people, causing them to hear, to live, to hear of His grace. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're new, a new birth in Christ. Our life by Christ is described as something new, something born again, a miracle of God's grace. We don't do it. God does it for whom He will. It says in Colossians 3:10 that we're made in the image of Christ. It says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Your Creator is the Lord Jesus Christ. God created, our Savior created us in the flesh, yes. But now we are created anew, born again, created again after the image of Christ. Psalm 3:8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And that blessing, brethren, is being born again after the image of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. Romans 8:28 through 30 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to purpose." The gracious purpose of God in Christ. And verse 29 goes on saying, "For whom he did foreknow," whom he knew personally. Not what actions you would do, he didn't know. That's not what it's talking about. I mean, he knew that, but whom, the people he foreknew, whom he loved, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, to Christ's image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Raising you from the dead, giving you life in Christ, blessing you to hear his voice and to believe him. Whatever we lost in Adam in the fall has been renewed in Christ Jesus. It's the blessing for his people. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2. So the picture of day six is that in Adam, we became as brute beasts, cattle, and creeping things, and there's no blessing for them. They're under the curse. That's not where God blesses his people. He blesses them in Christ. And the people of God are blessed, and these are made in the image of Christ. Amen. Amen.